And if you would turn with me into the book of Romans, chapter number 5. In Romans chapter number 5, I want to begin reading in verse number 6. And we'll read down through verse number 15. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. In these verses here this morning, and we'll be looking at them in a few moments, we recognize the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it accomplished for you and I as believers. The purpose for Memorial Day is to sort of slow down a little bit and just to take a few moments to ponder in our minds and to remember what has taken place in the history of our country and the great sacrifices that have been made by very valiant men and women for the cause of our freedom. We should never take our freedom for granted. We should never take our freedom to the point that it's just always been, so it always will be. There's a reason that we have freedom, and there is a reason that we will continue to enjoy the freedom that we have. And it is our duty as believers, is our duty as adults, as Americans on this side of eternity, to expound to our children how important freedom is and how that freedom really costs. Freedom, though saying is freedom is not free, and how true that is. The cost has been very great. The cost has been the ultimate sacrifice of thousands, hundreds of thousands of young men and young ladies. When someone is born with a certain privilege, sometimes they do not really understand the privilege, how it came about. They don't understand the price that was paid for that privilege. You and I, the older we get, the more we realize there's a great price that has been paid. There's a great number of folks that have lost their lives that in order that we could be here today and we can worship the Lord and not have to worry about someone coming through the doors and telling us we can't do that, or we can speak freely of our liberty, we can speak freely of our Lord outside these doors because of the nation that God has blessed us with and we are a part of. Tomorrow is the day that we will celebrate what is called Memorial Day, that day in which we honor our war dead, that day in which we honor those that paid that ultimate price for our freedom. The saying goes, and I think there's even a song that says, all gave some, but some gave all. And this morning, I'm going to deal with those characters, those that gave all, that we are here. Their lives were, they were cut short. I remember as a teenager growing up, we were in the midst of the Vietnam War, and every once in a while I'll see someone in town. I saw someone yesterday that had a t-shirt on that says Vietnam veteran. And so by looking at him and seeing that, I know he's of my age group. He's of that group that went to a foreign soil and really wasn't appreciated for a lot that was done and that was accomplished, and multitudes died there on that country of Vietnam. In our church where I grew up, there was a young man went to Vietnam, was sent there, and he never did come back. I can remember the funeral that we went to and the coffin that was draped with the flag. I knew he was a member of our church. His dad was, at that time, was the treasurer of our church, had a large family, and we were all good friends. But that young man left, but he never did come back. And so he paid that ultimate price. His dreams and his ways of what he thought he might do in the future were cut short because of the sacrifice that he gave, that he was asked to give, of his country. So as we enjoy our freedom and our blessing tomorrow, certainly we ought never to forget those that gave us that joy and that privilege of freedom. And freedom is a privilege. It's not a right. It's a privilege that's been granted to us from those that have gone on before us. There are many living in our country today, they're enjoying those privileges, but yet they misuse them, they abuse them, and sometimes they don't even appreciate what they have. We do not have the freedom to do wrong. We live by the standards of the Word of God, and we don't have the freedom to just do what we want to do. That's anarchy, that's uncontrolled. We do not have the freedom to live here and I believe defame this land. I do not believe we ought to have the freedom to abuse others and to take those liberties for granted. I believe people ought to come here and as others have, I believe our doors should be open to folks that want to come to this country because of what we are, not what they want to make it and how they want to change it. And so those are things that are just fundamental truths and fundamental principles that we have as a Christian. I believe we ought to be able to, as much as we hate, we ought to be able to pay our taxes. We ought to be able to salute our flag. We ought to be able to sing our anthem and never fear what someone would think or someone might do. It bothers me to see someone defame our flag. It bothers me for someone to burn our flag. It's just a piece of cloth, yes, but it is a standard that we have. It's a banner that represents this country as what we, as it has been founded. Now, war is not anything, or not something that any person, man or woman, would want to have. But we find ourselves engulfed in war continually. Human history has been full of war. Human history is filled with one people rising up against another people, and it continues on today. We find in our text that sometimes there's a war spiritually that goes on that is necessary, and sometimes we have to fight that battle also on the spiritual realm. But God bless the memory of those that have given themselves. God bless our troops that are active right now. Now, Memorial Day is for those to be remembered that have died, but God bless our troops that are living right now, that are serving in all the different countries around the world, and they're sort of like a barrier. They're a hedge that keeps the freedom that we have true. And so I believe we ought to be able to say, God bless America. And thank God that we can do that because of that gift. So this morning, I want us to take just a few moments. I want us to pause. I want us to ponder some of the things that we should remember. I think, first of all, we should remember the soldiers that sacrificed for our freedom. Those that have given themselves for you and I. I've got some things here I want to read to you in a few moments that I have saved here. But we need to remember those who defend our country, those that have defended our country. There are presently 1.5 million men and women serving actively in the armed forces of our country, and 1.2 million that are serving in some type of the seven different reserves that we have that can be called up to active duty. Those who defend our freedom, thank God for those that are do that. There are almost 25 million veterans living in our country, living right now. That's a good group. That's a great host. So we thank the Lord for those that defend us right now. But Memorial Day is to remember those that died defending the freedom that we enjoy. Those that maybe, of course, years ago the draft was in order, and when you turned 18, you signed up for selective service, and you got that little card in the mail, and you went and signed up. I had to do that. I'm sure others had to do that. Now we are on a volunteer service, but all the American wars that we've had, either our country or within our country, over 45 million people have served in wartime, and approximately 1.5 million have died, and many more have been wounded in that time. If you go to the American Law Liberty on the internet and look back at the number of soldiers, you'll find different figures there since 1971, and I've got some figures that even go back even a little farther than that. World War I, there were 116,500 fatalities. That's a lot of people. That's World War I. We don't remember that. All the World War I folks are gone. They're just memories. World War II is becoming that. That's that group of people that are in their late 80s, early 90s, and they are becoming that group that will one day just be a figure, and we'll not know any of them. I'm glad to know that my father served. He was in the Army. He was an MP, and he told me some stories about being a military police. Some of them was funny. Some of them wasn't too funny. He was stationed at Morganfield for a while when they had the bases there. He was stationed in Alaska and all doing those things, and he had stories. My uncle was overseas. He fought in a lot of the hard battles. And so I'm glad that we can look back and think about people that have given, and some came home, some did not come home. World War II, 406,000 in that war. That generation is called the greatest generation because of what they were able to accomplish, not just in war, but in peacetime, not just in battle, but in inventions. And that's when everything began to make progress as far as economy was concerned. And so that generation, that would be my father's generation, is called the greatest generation. We hear that term quite a bit, even in the news forecast or the news that we have given to us. My generation is called the baby boomer generation. Now we have sort of failed in some areas, because we haven't told this next generation all the important things that we should have told them. I was listening to a broadcast, a program yesterday, and some of y'all might have seen that. But this man was out asking young adults, maybe 20 to 25, asking some very simple questions about America, and they could not answer any of those things. Now, somebody has failed. When a person's 22, 25 years old, and they don't know who we fought to get our independence, there's a failure there. When they don't know that we that the Revolutionary War was the war of our independence, and we didn't fight against France, we fought against England. And when a person doesn't know what the North and the South, Confederate and the Union, so, when they don't know the terminology, somebody has failed. And so it has to be my generation and the educational system across this country that is failing to teach any kind of, I believe, what is pertinent history to us that we can understand really why we are who we are. That's why we're having so much difficulty today in our country. People don't know who America is, don't know what America is, and some of them could care less, and some of them don't want what we have. Well, these folks that gave their life, these folks that gave all those lives that I just read about a moment ago, they knew what it was for. They knew the importance of that, and they gave their life. Vietnam, well, Korea, 34,000 people died in the Korean, what they call a conflict, because war was never declared. When you lose 34,000 people, you're in a battle, you're in war. Vietnam come along a few years later, 58,209 people died. Young men, young women died defending us, and sometimes died not knowing why they were there. Very turbulent period of time in our history. Then you have our wars that have just been recently. So people are dying. Young people are dying. And we certainly should thank them for their gift. They gave the ultimate gift. We certainly should also understand that they answered the call, and they affirmed a commitment that they would do what they were asked to do. You and I, we need to understand, just because they are a service man or a service lady and they died for our country does not mean they went to heaven. You see, there's a great difference there. And this morning we remember those that gave. It's time to remember those that now defend our freedom, those that have defended our freedom, those who have died defending our freedom. They answered the call, and they were committed to the task. You and I this morning, we are grateful, we are thankful for those that gave. I looked up some numbers, and these things may, I don't want to bore you with statistics. I'm not a statistical person, but it's interesting to remember, it's interesting to know. One of the great battles of World War II is the Battle of Normandy. We hear about it. I learned about it in high school, and one of the probably the largest battle of World War II. Over 425,000 died in the Battle of Normandy. Now, they weren't all Americans. This is total casualties or fatalities. That included the Allied forces and the German troops. They were killed. Some were wounded. There were 209,000 Allied forces, and that's America, France, Britain, those different those allies, and 16,000 died in the armed forces. 37,000 died on the ground. Just in one battle. I saw yesterday, and I'd seen it before, and I lost it, and then I didn't get it back yesterday. Some group went to the beaches of Normandy, and they took silhouettes, and they laid them down on the sand, and they raked those where you could see it. And they had, I think they had 50 volunteers first of all, and then had over 500 people that ended up helping. And in that one day, they put silhouettes of people, of those that had fallen there in the sands on the beaches of Normandy. It's a pretty moving picture because there's not many spaces that wasn't covered. And they did that and just to commemorate what a great battle, what a large battle and deadly battle that was. But you know, this morning we are, and of course World War II was not just in Europe, it was Japan. We were fighting two different forces. And thank God this morning we speak English. We do not speak German. We speak English. We do not speak Japanese. And if it hadn't been for those that gave their life, we would be speaking one of those two, because they meant to destroy this country. So thank God for those that have fallen. Thank God for those that gave that ultimate sacrifice, that ultimate gift. So that is our tribute to the soldiers that sacrificed for my freedom. I'm glad I'm free this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad I can go out to my car, and if I want to travel 1,000 miles, I don't have to go any border checks. I don't have to ask any permission. I'm free. I'm glad I can go buy what I want to buy. I started to say what I could afford to buy. That wouldn't be a whole lot. But we can go out and buy what we can't afford because we have that little plastic card. And we have the credit. And that's all a result of an economy that God has blessed, that we have the ability and the freedom to do that. It didn't just happen. I'm glad I can go to my house. I'm glad I can have a place to live. Glad I can do the things I want to do. I don't have to worry about asking anybody any permission because I'm free. And I'm free this morning to be in the house of God because somebody that maybe didn't even know the Lord gave his life or her life for my freedom. And I thank God for every one of them. I thank God for each one. But more importantly than that, it's not just the soldiers that fought for my freedom, but the main part of the message that I really want to key in on, of course, is the spiritual side. I thank God for a Savior who supplies my forgiveness. I've been forgiven. I'm no longer bound and torn by sin. I'm no longer in the clutches of sin, no longer in the clutches of Satan. I've been set free. So we are doubly blessed this morning as Americans and as Christians. A Christian has two liberties, has two freedoms. If he lives in America, he has the freedom to move about and the freedom of our country. And thank God we have the freedom spiritually to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only time to remember our soldiers and their great sacrifice, but it's time to remember our Savior who gave the greatest sacrifice that anyone has ever given, for he left the very throne room of heaven and came to this wicked world and became a human being like you and I, unwanted, unloved by most people, despised and rejected among men, Isaiah says. And he came that I might have that ultimate freedom to live eternally with him. Now that's better than living in America. Living in America is pretty good, but living in heaven is far greater. And so we remember this morning not only the soldiers, but thank God for our Savior. We thank the Lord for that sacrifice that he gave. And in our text this morning, we read some verses that shows us what he did for us, who he did it for, and the reason behind that. And the Bible says there in verse number 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's who he died for. We don't like that word. We don't like to think about it. We don't want to be called that. But before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are ungodly. We're without hope. We're without him. And so he came to die for the ungodly. The word ungodly means absolutely without any respect for God at all. That's ungodly. Without any respect for the things of the Lord. And the scripture said, Jesus said, "I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but he said, I came to call sinners." He came seeking those that were ungodly. He came seeking those that were sinners. They were unrighteous. Unrighteous in their actions. Unrighteous in their thoughts, unrighteous in their way. Everything about us without the Lord, we are ungodly and we are unrighteous. We're just simply sinners. Sinners, Christians this morning, we are sinners saved by grace. Praise the Lord. The sinning part hasn't stopped a whole lot for us because we still battle with the flesh. We still battle with the world. We're still sinners. But thank God my sins have been forgiven. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of the Lord. He came to those that were his enemies. Notice there at verse number 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Think about how much greater it is after we're reconciled. And so verse number 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies, we were ungodly, we were unholy, we were unrighteous, we were unfriendly. Enemies mean that we are in opposite ways and odds against the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says in those verses that we were ungodly. The scripture says that we were unfriendly, or we were his enemies. The scripture says that we were unrighteous. We were sinners. But while we were yet sinners, in our condition, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord this morning. I didn't have to clean myself up. I didn't have to get better. I didn't have to turn over a new leaf. All I had to do is to believe and trust what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. While I was a sinner, he loved me. While I was a sinner, he came. While I was a sinner, he died. While I was a sinner, he came to me. I wasn't seeking the Lord, neither were you. We don't seek the Lord unless the Lord first seeks us. We don't love God unless he first loves us and the expression of love given to us. And so, the Lord died for the ungodly when we were enemies against him and did not want him and did not desire him, but he died anyway. Thank God for the sacrifice of my Lord. Amen. He died for us as we were, it tells again in verse number 6, that we were helpless. We didn't have any strength. I couldn't pull myself up and say, I believe I'll do better. I couldn't say, well, I'll turn over a new leaf, because when you turn over a new leaf, immediately the leaf is spotted by sin. We can't do all the ways and the things that we say we do in order to go to heaven. I heard this week, and I do not remember who he was. If I was able to call his name, you would know who I was talking about. He's a very popular, famous athlete of a few years back. And I was listening to what he said, and boy, he was doing some good. He was saying some good things, saying some things about what he was doing. And he said, "I'm using my name in order to help people and to do good for folks, and trying to get people to live better and to live in a different way." And everything he was saying was something that this world desires. And he said, "If there is a heaven, I want to do enough that I go there." I thought, how sad, if there is a heaven. And so if there's a heaven, I'm going to do all I can do. I'm going to do all my good works. I'm going to do everything that's in my power to make people live better, have better, do better, so that I might obtain if there is a heaven. How sad a statement. We're helpless, we're hopeless. We can't do it on our own. We're without strength. We can't say, I'm going to do better, because my do better comes up just as bad as it was before. The leaf, as I said a while ago, when I turn over a new leaf, it doesn't take but just a moment for that to be spotted by my attitude, my words, my ways, my thoughts, my sin. But Christ, while we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. When I couldn't do any better, thank God he did for me. The song says, he came to me. He comes to where we are. We don't ever get out of his sight. We don't ever get out of his thoughts, his mind. He knows where we are. He knew where I was in my spiritual need. He knew where you were in your spiritual need. And one day he came to you
and revealed himself as the Savior, and you trusted him while you were without strength. Two millennials ago, he died for us. He gave that ultimate sacrifice. He gave that ultimate gift while I was helpless, while I was hopeless, while I was hostile. You see, an enemy is hostile towards you. An enemy will do you harm. An enemy will do anything he can do to stop you and to destroy you. That's what an enemy is. And the scripture says, while I was an enemy, if I was an enemy and he reconciled me, if I was in that condition and he still was able to reconcile me, how much more being reconciled, we now have life. Since he has given me life eternal, I have a life that's far greater than this world could ever offer or ever could give. Why did he die for us? Verse number 8, because of his love. He died for us, the scripture says, but God commended his love toward us. Who is that us? Those that were ungodly. Those that were unrighteous. Those that were unholy. God commended. God put his love upon us. The emergence of his love, his providing, the precious love of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his son to die for the helpless. God sent his son to die for the hopeless. And God sent his son to die for the hostile enemies against him. We see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hostility comes up ever so often. The Bible says there was a division because of him. That was that hostile group that hated him. And they tried every way and they could, and they finally found a way they could convince the Roman government that Jesus Christ was not who he said he was. And in their mind, they crucified the Lord. They drove the nails. They put him through trial, and the Jews did all that, and the Romans they did all the mockery of trials, and Pilate even said, "I don't find anything wrong with him. I find no fault." And so, therefore, he went to the cross of Calvary because of his enemies standing against him. That's what men think. But you know why Jesus really went to Calvary? Because it was determined that one day there'd have to be a sacrifice. That sacrifice is pictured all the way through the Old Testament. We see the shedding of the blood of the lambs. We see the Passover day. We see all the different feast days. And they all point to a day coming when there would be a lamb. And so when Jesus appeared on the scene, John the Baptist sees him coming toward him there in River Jordan. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Thank God he died for sinners. Amen. He came to demonstrate. He came to put on exhibition his love. Literally, Jesus demonstrated his love for us. Our verses that we read this morning. Let me find it again. Verse 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." There's a probability that a man would die for another righteous man. Yet, peradventure, or maybe just perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. That's a righteous man and a good man. That's who we would die for. But God commended his love toward us when we were not righteous, when we were not good, when we were not holy. God commended his love toward us that we might live. Praise the Lord, this morning we are saved. I like that old-fashioned term, saved. Born again by the Spirit of the Lord. We've been changed, we've been converted. All those terms recognize and show us different parts of our salvation. But thank God I've been saved. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the dear Son of God, the kingdom of light. We're saved, we're sealed, we're secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. All because he would even dare to die for a sinner. That he would come and pay that ultimate gift of his life. When you think of soldiers, all of them gave something. Some of them gave everything. But when you think of Jesus Christ, you see, our soldiers that are on the field and have died, they died for our country. My Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ, he died for this world. His vision was much greater. We talked about the hundreds of thousands and the millions that have fought and battled and died. And it took all of that to make it possible for us to be here this morning. But it only took the death of one man to make it possible for this whole world that would believe upon him to go to heaven. I'm glad I'm a free American. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to call that my flag. I'm proud to try and sing that national anthem. One thing I'll be so glad if this procedure works, I'll be able maybe to sing again. I can't do it. But I'm proud to be able to read the words and say that's about my country. I'm proud that I hold a quarter in my hand or a penny or a dollar and it says in God we trust. Now there's a lot of people don't, but as a nation we still have that as our motto. Thank God we do. I'm proud to be an American. But I'm more proud than anything else that I can be called a Christian. The word Christian means like Christ. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I'm a Christian. And I'm glad I have two freedoms. Freedom in this world and freedom in that world. Can you imagine how great it will be the day we enter into the very portals of glory? Somebody says, oh, you're getting off into imaginary stuff. Now, no. Just as true as what we read anywhere else, there is a heaven. And as a child of God, we're going there because of the ultimate gift of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died not for the good, not for the godly, but he died for the sinner. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Somebody said years ago, if God can save the chief sinner, he can surely take care of me. If he can save the chiefest of sinners, that means the worst. But you know, when we come to look at the Lord and we come to face him, I believe we all come to the same conclusion. We're the chief of sinners. We're the worst of the worst. And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Thank God for the soldiers that have fallen for my freedom. But I thank God for the Savior that is fallen or was fallen for my forgiveness. I am forgiven. Let's stand together this morning.